today. We're going to continue our series on Multiply. I tell you what, I'm excited about the spring here at Destiny. A lot of things happening. I hope you're excited too. We have coming up real soon in just 2 weeks, we have Palm Sunday. We'll be taking the Lord's table together, celebrating, preparing our hearts for Easter. And of course, 3 weeks from now, we'll be having Easter Sunday. It's going to be a very, very powerful time as we have three services here that weekend, Saturday night and two Sunday morning. And it's going to be a lot happening. We're going to be doing a baptism service coming up in April. We have the marriage retreat, special speakers as well coming up in April. And in May, we're going to be baptizing several people here in the church. It's going to be a fun spring as we celebrate what God's doing in people's lives. Are you excited about what God's doing? Amen. We're excited. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, first things first. First things first. It's important that we don't skip the first things. When it comes to multiplication, it's really important. You get the wrong formula in the equation, and you're going to have the wrong answer, correct? And so we know where God's calling us to line up things according to his plan. Now, let's jump right to our text today. Then we'll jump right into our message in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. It's a passage I read 4 or 5 weeks ago. I want to go back to it today. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, this is Jesus, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, today, let me say this, that one of the first things we see as Christians, as Christ followers, he calls us to follow after him, and then he says, "I want to make you fishers of men." And it's important that we don't miss this step, because we see in Scripture, it says, if we seek first my kingdom, right? Seek first what I want to do first? No. Scripture says, seek first his kingdom, and then all these other things then become added to us. So what is first his kingdom? I believe we see it right here in the very first things first. He calls us to be his followers, and then he says, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." First things first. And we want to skip around to our own thing, but we're called to be fishers of men. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're called to fish." We're called to be fishers of men. Now, some of you ladies could probably preach this message better than me, because you're pretty good at fishing after men. Just come on now. Just want to make sure you're awake today. The problem is, some of you haven't done a pretty good job. You need to catch some different fish. I've been smelling some of the... Anyway, all right. That's another sermon. That's not the kind of fishing I'm talking about. He says he's called us to fish after souls, to be fishers of men, seeking after his kingdom first in our life. We're all called to fish for souls. All of us. We're called to fish for souls. Now, can I say something today that's going to rattle your cage? Turn to your neighbor and say, "You better pay attention. This is going to be good." Let's get right to it. I want you to see the statement I'm making today. I don't care how many spiritual gifts you have if you haven't led anyone to Jesus. Wow, that's heavy right there. Let's say it again. I don't care how many spiritual gifts you have if you haven't led anyone to Jesus. You see, we think we put all these spiritual gifts up as mile markers in our life. You know, I'm walking in this spiritual gift. I've obtained this spiritual gift. I'm flowing in this spiritual gift. But yet we haven't led anybody to Jesus in 10 years. Come on, our priorities are out of whack. We've skipped over the most important thing, to pursue other things in our life. And God says, "I've called you first and foremost to be fishers of men. Before I'm called to be a pastor, I'm called to fish men, to be a fisher for souls. Before you're called to be a teacher, you're called to be a fisher of souls. Before you're called to do your job, God has called every one of us here as Christians to be fishers of men. This is what he's called me to do. It's what he's called you to do. It's the first things first. We're called to be fishers of men." Mark 1:14 through 15. Let's back it up a few verses that we just read. Then Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the what news? Come on now, you guys got to wake up. Proclaiming the what? There you go. Proclaiming the good news. Time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, this is the pattern we see here, that we are called to repent, and then we proclaim the good news. I thought, you know, God, if you really want us to spread the news of your gospel, he should have called it the bad news. Because how many know we have no problem spreading bad news? I can go right on your Facebook page, your Instagram account, your Twitter account right now, and we can see how much bad news spreads really fast, right? I'd give you some good gossip about some bad news that happened, and everybody in the world likes it. I get 10,000 likes. I put a promise from God, I might be able to get 5 likes. You know what I'm talking about. It's easy. It's easy to spread bad news. Sometimes it's not always easy to spread good news. And that's what we've been called to do. We've been called to spread the good news of the gospel. It is good news. I like to give good news. I don't like to have to give bad news. I like to give good news. And it should be at the very essence of our core that we long to share the goodness of God's grace in our life. We should want to share the good news. Proclaim it. God has been so good to me. God has been so good to my life. God has changed me. You want to know why I'm smiling today? It's because of God's grace in my life. You want to know why I'm still standing today, even though I've walked through some hard, difficult times, challenges in my marriage, in my life. I've grieved some things that have been very hard in my life. But why am I still standing? Because of the good news today. The Christ has come, died for me. His blood has forgiven me, empowering me. That's good news. And we have the good news, and we're challenged to share the good news. Every one of us, before you're called to do anything else, as a Christ follower, we're called to share the good news. Let's do a survey today. How many people here will say, Pastor, I got saved by watching Christian television. I saw someone preaching on TV, and I gave my heart to Christ there. Anybody here? We had like 2 people in the first service. Anybody here in this service want to raise your hand? See, that was me. Anybody raise it high? I want to see it. 1. Anybody else today? I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Let's give it up. Yeah, that's a good thing. Someone gave their heart to Christ. I'm not against that at all. I just want you to see that we had 1 person here. Let's ask this question. How many people gave their heart to Christ because you attended a big crusade? Maybe a Billy Graham type of crusade where somebody came at a stadium and they packed it out and you came and gave your heart to Christ. Anybody here got saved in a crusade? 1, 2, 3. Anybody else? Okay, let's give it up for that. Yeah, amen. That's good. Now, how many people today will say you were saved because somebody came to you, was nice to you, maybe they did something to show God's love to you, they talked to you about God, maybe they did something simple as invite you to church, but somebody personally came and either got you in church, invited you to church, or they led you to Christ personally. Anybody here want to raise your hands? That was me. Yeah, see? Look around. This is the foremost way that God wants to use to advance his kingdom is you and I. This is the way he predominantly wants to use. He uses other methods, and those things are great, and they have their place. But the way he has always established it from day one was that the kingdom of God be proclaimed by you and I, that you and I become fishers of men. This is how he wants us. But see, most of us, when we accept Christ, we accepted him at a time when we were going through a crisis in our life. Maybe you're going through a tough time in your marriage. Maybe you're going through a time where you faced hurt and rejection. Maybe you're going through a time of mourning. Maybe you're going through a time of layoff at your job. Maybe you're at a time when you're like, man, I don't have anywhere else to turn. And you came and someone showed you attention. Someone invited you to church. You gave your heart to Christ. And probably for the majority of us, that's our story. We came to God in a time of desperation in our life. And that's a good thing because that's what he wants us to do when we're desperate, when we're crying out. We come to him, all those who are brokenhearted. We come to him. But at some point, we got to make sure that we turn the tide, okay? That we have a shift going on in our heart that we're doesn't become just about me, but now it becomes about me helping somebody else. That's the will of the Father. That's what he's come to do. Proclaim to reconcile us to God, to heal our broken heart. And at some point, he expects you to turn around and to tell somebody else to be fishers of men. Look what 2 Corinthians 5:18 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new. Don't you love that? I love new things. And we're made new. He is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And look what he says here. And he has given the pastors the ministry of reconciliation, right? No. Did I misread that? Wait a minute. You're telling me it doesn't say pastors? And he is giving who? So are you seeing this? We all have been given the ministry of reconciling people. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. Bring it up, please, on the next slide. Let's see this. We've all been given this, the ministry of reconciliation. We have this ministry. Before I'm called to be a pastor, I'm called to reconcile people. Before you're called to do whatever profession you have, you're called to be a reconciler of people. That's your ministry. That's my ministry. We have been reconciled to Christ, and now we turn around and help others get reconciled to Christ. This is our ministry. This is the first things first. But we want to skip over this and get into some pursuing spiritual gifts and pursuing other things, and we've missed the most important thing that God wants to do to use to multiply in our life is simply when you and I learn to reach out and to be his hands and feet. To fish for souls. This is what I'm called to do. This is what you're called to do. Has anyone here ever suffered with condemnation before? Have you ever battled? How can God really use me? That's really our big statement, right? They're like, I know God wants to use me, Pastor, but if you knew my past, you would realize God really doesn't have a lot to work with. Matter of fact, I feel like a hypocrite trying to reconcile somebody when I'm still in the process of reconciliation myself. Anyone ever feel that way? Am I the only one? Okay, all right. I guess your pastor's the only heathen here. The rest of you guys are all saints. All right. So let me tell you, it's kind of like when you're going through something in your life and maybe you're mourning and you're going through a hurt. Maybe you're going through a breakup. Maybe you're going through a time of depression. Something that's really been heavy happened in your life. And you're struggling with getting your joy back. I always tell people to get out and just do something nice for somebody. Start serving somebody. Do something nice for somebody and see if it doesn't lift your spirits up. And it always happens that when you quit putting the attention on how bad you're hurting and you reach out to help somebody else that's hurting, not only do you help them, but you also find yourself, your spirits get lifted as well. It helps you. Now, when you reach out to reconcile somebody else and help them reconcile, and God uses you to reconcile somebody else, it builds me up to say, you know what? I'm not as bad as I think if God is using me to reconcile somebody. I'm not quite as bad. The condemnation begins to leave me because I realize, you know what, God, you do want to use me, and I'm not near as bad as I thought because you're using me to help somebody else. It's your spirit's working through me. You're giving me the right words to say when I didn't know what to say. And that's what happens many times. I can tell you the first time I ever helped somebody, led someone to God, I was so nervous. I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to do this, so I invited the afternoon to spend with this person. And while we're there, I could feel my heart, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And I know God was telling me to ask them about, do they know Jesus? And I was so nervous. I was scared. And my heart was just going, pow, pow, pow. I tried to chicken out all day long. And finally, I just knew it was now or never. I'm like, you know Jesus! That person said, dude, you're crazy. And they left. No, but that's not what happened. This person said, I've been waiting for you to ask me. And they started crying. I'm going through this. I need some help. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. And I'm like, what? You know? And just waiting for me to ask. It was the Holy Spirit leading that divine appointment. He was wanting me to do that, and I was so scared. But I tell you, once you start doing that, though, you're not afraid, and you get more boldness, and then pretty soon you see the Holy Spirit using you time after time. And this is the way He is set up for us to advance the kingdom of God as we learn to be fishers of men. So, how do we fish then? How do we fish for souls? Let me give you three ways. Number one, take the initiative. If you're going to be a fisher of men, you got to learn to take initiative. All right, guys, take some initiative. When it comes to being a soul winner, when it comes to sharing Christ, we got to take the initiative. We see people holding up signs on the road, screaming, waving their Bibles in the air, and screaming out profanities, the Christian profanities, you know. That's why I call it Christian profanities. Using the Bible for an excuse to condemn you, and, you know. Anyway, people are just crazy. We know, we see them. And then we see other areas. Maybe first of all, let me say there's a lot of great teachers on Christian television, but there's also some flakes out there as well. And, you know, and so sometimes we're like, man, between what they see on TV and what they see out, people acting crazy, condemning people, picketing, it kind of makes you sometimes want to just walk in and just be quiet. It kind of makes you afraid that, like, you're walking on eggshells. You're kind of afraid to use, you know, the C word. I'm a Christian. Because you're afraid that someone's going to attack you. Don't you bring that to work, you know, and what's going to happen. But listen, we can't let a few flakes and nuts mess up our cereal. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. We can't let a few flakes and nuts stop us from fulfilling the destiny of our ministry. We're called to reconcile. And I can't walk around on eggshells and worry about offending people because God has changed my life and He's going to give me a way of sharing that with somebody else. Now, I'm not telling you to go to your work tomorrow and get on the speaker and say, boss, can I make the morning announcements? Repent. That's all I'm talking about, okay? Don't walk into the fast food restaurant tomorrow and grab the microphone. Excuse me, buy this mic. Listen up, all the people in here. That's not what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about God has called me to be fishers of men and you to be fishers of men as well. Simply by taking the initiative, don't be afraid of sharing what God has done in our life. Number two, we have this happen by demonstrating God's love. We got to learn to demonstrate God's love. This is how we fish for men. Ephesians 5:1 says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We have got to learn to walk in God's love. 1 John 3:18 makes it very clear. I don't think it gets any clearer than this. Let's listen to what it says. Dear children, let us not love with our words. Let us not just love with our words or speech, but with actions. Let's say it together. With what? Actions and in truth. This is how we love. I don't love by just saying, I go to church. I'm a Christian. He says, don't just say, but let it come with your actions. My actions to demonstrate that I love Jesus. My actions to demonstrate that I care about you. See, love is an action word. Maybe I should be more grammar correct. Love is an action verb, which is an action word. It's a love is action. We're called to put love into action. How do we put love into action? Well, everyone needs acceptance. First of all, we realize everyone needs acceptance. I love the fact that at Destiny Church, we have such a different variety of people. We have people from all social backgrounds here. We got people who struggle financially. We got a lot of middle class, and we got a lot of people who do well off. That's okay. We got different races. We got different ages. We got people who are single. We got people who are widowed. We got people who are divorced. We got people who are young. You know, I love that we have all these different people. Why? Because we've learned to be a church who accepts people. One of the greatest testimonies, but yet tragedies, is I hear it time and time again from people who tell me they walked into churches in town and they were judged before the church service ever started. I said, I walked in, I could feel people looking at me with condemning eyes because I wasn't dressed a certain way, or I had tattoos, this, or I looked this way, or I was this age, or I was this race. No, no. If we're going to reach and be fishers of men, we got to learn to accept people, reach out for them. Doesn't mean we always agree with their lifestyle. Doesn't mean we always agree with the way they're living their life, but I can love them and show them God's love and let God change them and show them his love. We're not going to fish if we don't love people. And we're not going to fish if we don't learn to accept people and reach out in love. See, everyone needs not only acceptance, everyone needs emotional support. We all need it. We all need emotional support. None of us here can do without. We all need someone to accept us and emotionally support us. Let me say it to you the way I said the first service. We're all just junior hires at heart. Come on now, you know I'm telling the truth. We never grow out of wanting to be accepted, loved, and supported. We always need this. So how do I show God's love? By supporting somebody, giving them emotional support when they're going through a struggle, accepting them for where they're at, and helping them along the journey. Aren't you glad someone accepted you when you were living a lifestyle that was very bad? Some of you are living it right now, and we accepted you anyway. And we're letting you come in, and we're letting the Spirit of God change you. Aren't you glad that somebody didn't kick you out before you had a chance to change? Aren't you glad someone didn't write you off? If you'd have wrote me off a long time ago, if that'd be the case. My sister gave up on me a long time ago, but she's here today, finally. Say, bless the Lord, I knew all along my brother was going to be. No, I'm just playing around. But I would have been wrote off a long time ago. People write us off. No, let's reach out and love people. Let's give them acceptance. Let's reach out and say, God has something better for your life. Come on, just the way you are, let's go to him. Let me tell you how God has changed my life. Let's give them emotional support. There's someone who cares for how you're feeling. There's someone who cares about the burden you're carrying. There's someone who cares about the rejection you're going through. There's someone who cares about the hurt that you suffered in your life. There's somebody who cares. He cares so much. How much did he care? This much that he gave his life upon the cross. He cares for you and I. We got to bring it. How else do we show God's love? We demonstrate God's love. We demonstrated everyone needs practical assistance. This is how we'd I don't know how to evangelize, Pastor. And I've seen workshops where you can pay $100 and you can go spend the weekend at some conference room and they'll teach you how to be a soul winner. And I'm not against any of those principles. And there's probably some great principles. But let me tell you, principle 101, you want to win somebody to Jesus? Give some practical assistance. So what are you talking about? If you have a neighbor going in the hospital and you know about it, or a friend or a coworker, how about if somebody said, can I bring by a meal to you? How about when you get home, I have a meal ready for you just to help your family out. Can I give your kids a ride to school or pick them up from school? I know you guys are, your schedule's kind of messed up right now. I love our pastoral care team and appreciate all the hot meals they do. Give them a big hand. Isn't that great? And we try our best. We don't hit everybody. Sometimes people fall through the cracks that we didn't know about. But we try our best to reach out and give meals to those who are coming in and out of the hospital and new moms. We try our best to help out and reach out. But, you know, it goes beyond just these four walls. We got to do it outside of here. We got to do it outside here. God, let me be your hands and feet to somebody else. Instead of complaining about how bad your neighbor's yard looks, won't they cut their grass? Won't they rake their leaves? How about you just take your kids and go over there and clean it up for them? Could a practical assistant just say, hey, we just want to show you God's love in a practical way? I see you're moving. Can I help you move anything? Can I get my truck and help you move something? My trailer? Can I help you move something? Can I help you carry your things in? What are we doing? Let's show God's love in a practical way. The other day I was driving. I had been working all day and then I went to the gym to work out, and it was getting late, and I was on my way home. It was already gotten dark, and I was hot and I was sweaty. I was ready to go home, take a shower, and just spend a little bit of time I had left in the evening just relaxing. And I'm getting close to my house, and I see this car had just pulled over to the side of the road and had their flashers on like there was trouble. And I was like, well, it's dark. nobody will see me if I just keep on going, you know? I'm like, nah, I better do something. So I did the manly thing. I rolled down my window, and I was, everything okay? This girl rolls down the window. Ah, I'm out of gas. My car is out of gas. I can't get a hold of anybody. My phone's dead. I'm like, you want to borrow my phone? Call your mama. Call your daddy. I'm fighting with my mom right now. She want to talk to me. I just don't know what to do. And I was like, I want to roll my window up and say, oh, it sounds tough. I'll pray for you. Keep going. That's what I wanted to do. But I didn't. I was like, okay, I live around the block. I'll tell you what, I'll go get my gas can, and I'll go fill you up some gas. I'll be back in about 10 minutes. I'll put you some gas in your car, okay? But went and got the gas, come back, and I get out, putting the gas in the car, and she gets out of the car, and she goes, Pastor Gene? I'm like, oh, yes, my daughter. Hallelujah. Bless you. God bless you. Go and run out of gas no more. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, it was somebody who needed to see God's love that day. Not too long ago, my wife and I were out to dinner, and we were having dinner, and there was a family that was there sitting close to us who had just went through a major tragedy in their life, and we were just talking to them. Never told them we were pastors, just talking to them, just being nice and friendly. And right before we left, I just felt as I was paying for my ticket, I just told the waitress very discreetly, I said, I want to pay for their meal. I said, but I don't want them to know until after we leave, okay? Okay. She said, okay. So we got it, paid for it, and we're trying to leave, you know, and the lady's going, where's my ticket? And my wife, I didn't tell her because I was going to tell her when we got in the car, okay, what had happened. I was trying to be very discreet, but she looks at the ticket and goes, wait a minute, you overcharged us really bad. Come on, I'm telling the truth. You know, you made a mistake. I'm like, shh, you know, I know she didn't. I told her to do that. You know, I was trying to discreetly pay for this meal and get out the door. And so we did our best job. I was like, God bless you. I wanted to get out of the car. I'm like, sorry. I was, why don't you tell me next time? I was going to tell you we got a car. I didn't want to tell you out here. We got in the car, and it was the next day the person found me on Facebook and said, I didn't know you was a pastor. I'm like, yes, that's what I wanted to hear. Because I didn't want you to think I was doing it because I was a pastor. I just wanted you to know I was doing it because I was a Christian. And I say that I know that made an impact on her life, something small. And I saw the other day at the store, ran into her again, and she came out and gave me a hug. It's like, I didn't know you was a pastor. Thank you so much. That meant a lot to us. And she was had tears in her eyes. Small act of kindness of somebody. See, we're showing the act of love. We're demonstrating God's love. We're demonstrating God's love in our life. How many of us miss it every day when God's trying to do something where we can demonstrate his love? There's people that come to this church now that I never told I was a pastor. I just simply befriended them and over time invited them to church. They show up to church. They're like, what are you doing on stage? You're the pastor? Why did you tell me you was a pastor? That's what I told you. You'd have went, get away from me. It's fun to see God do that. Listen, I'm called to reconcile people before I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a fisherman of men before I'm called to do anything else. You are too. We're called, and we do this by demonstrating his love practical ways. Acts 22:15. And you'll be his witnesses to all people of what you have seen and what you've heard. This word witness here is the legal term of witness. The official witness of the court. I mean, we're being subpoenaed by God. Are you hearing me? God's subpoenaing you and I, saying, hey, listen, you're called to be my witness. Do it with integrity, honesty. Do it. You've heard this statement before, and I've said it before. I'm sure you've heard it before. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And number three, how do we fish for people. Don't just live it, but tell it. A lot of people here, you are in that mind frame of, I'm just going to let my daily walk be a witness. And let me say, first of all, if your daily walk with God is a witness, I applaud you. We need more people who will just walk with integrity and be a strong witness for God just by the way you walk, okay? I'm behind that 100%. We need more people like that. But that's not enough. It's not enough just to live it. We've also got to tell it. We got to tell people. So at some point, we got to open up our mouth and say, Jesus loves you. Can I pray with you? Have you accepted Jesus? Is everything all right? At some point, I got to open up my mouth and tell you what God has done in my life. Romans 10:14 makes it very clear. But how can they call upon him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never what? Heard about him. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to speak up. Somebody's got to be the one to say, God loves you. Somebody's got to be the one to step out and say, there's a better way. There is hope. You can have peace. You can have comfort. You can have grace and forgiveness in your life. Someone's got to tell. You know, one of the greatest tools that you have now, especially those who come to Destiny Church, one of the greatest tools you have that I didn't have when I was growing up. When I was growing up, I didn't want to bring any friends to my church because I just didn't know what was going to happen. There were some crazy people. Anybody else raised that kind of church? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. You just didn't know what was going to happen. You're like, it's kind of a 50-50 shot. I bring you. We may be all right this Sunday, but woo! You may think I'm crazy and tell everybody in my school how crazy my church is, you know? And so I was always nervous about bringing people to church. But, you know, I thank the Lord that we are creating a place where you're not afraid to bring people to church. That, you know, if you can get people to come to church, they'll hear music they can relate to. They'll hear a modern message and music. They'll hear a message they can understand. We're not going to preach over their head. We're not going to speak in Hebrews and Greek and talk in ways that doesn't relate to their life. But we're going to do our very best to relate the gospel message in a way that they can understand and apply to their life. We're going to do our best to usher in the presence of God so that when people walk in, they feel something. And I hear it all the time. I don't know what it is, but when I walk in, I feel something. I can't tell you what it is. I visit a lot of churches, and we just moved to town, and there's a lot of great churches, and they're doing a lot of the same songs, and they have a lot of the same look, but I can't tell you. There's something different. It's the Spirit of God. It's the anointing of God in a strong way that we're saying, God, we're seeking after you, and there's something happening. I tell you what, you've got to get people into the house of God. We're called to be fishers of men. I had a vision the other day. I was thinking about this. God, you called us to be fishers of men. And I was reminded of this video I seen a long time ago. I went and looked it up. I want you to see. I believe God's calling us to fish this way. Let's see what happens.
Here they come. Look at them go.
Would like to fish that way. You know, that's, I like fishing that way. We just ride our boat there and let fish jump in the boat. Let me tell you, we got to get people here. If we can get people here, they will jump in the boat. I'm telling you, God will pull them. But we got to get them here. We got to tell them. We got to demonstrate His love. Coming up in just a few weeks, we have Easter Sunday coming up. One of the best times of the year to get people in the house of God. Right now, you should already be thinking about who can I bring. We're going to be talking about the theme on Easter Sunday, Unbroken. We're going to be using that theme, Unbroken. It's going to be a powerful, powerful Sunday. Our set design team's already getting ready to make this, transform the stage into looking like a World War II prison camp. We're going to have a lot of things happening. It's going to be a great story as we look at that movie and collate it to the Easter story. It's going to be very powerful. A lot of people are going to come in. Our music team is practicing new music, getting ready. Our worship team and band. It's going to be a powerful, powerful Sunday. Many people are going to come to know Jesus, but you got to get them here. I'm telling you, if you'll get them here, they will want to jump in the boat. They don't even know what's happening. They just know the Spirit of God's here. I'm being compelled to change my life and to give it to Jesus. And the fish are going to jump in the boat. It's going to happen. But you're going to have to bring somebody. You know, Easter is, you say, Pastor, should we do it every Sunday? Yeah, every Sunday. We should be looking to bring somebody. But it seems like Easter Sunday and Christmas are the two times of the year here in America that people are more open, who don't go to church any other time, that will go if somebody will just invite them. So I challenge you now. Next week we'll have tickets ready for you to pass out and invite people. It's just a conversation piece. Do more than just invite them, especially if you're friends with them or know them. Take them to lunch. Invite them over for dinner. Clean out their yard. Do something for them. Look for a way just to show God's love in a practical way. Do something to impact them. I'm here to tell you, I believe very, very strongly that we're going to see one of the greatest Sundays of souls coming to our church we've ever seen before as far as people giving their heart for Jesus on Easter Sunday. I believe very, very strongly, very powerful that people are going to give their heart to God. If you get them here, I guarantee the Spirit will compel them, the Spirit will convict them, the Spirit will bring them to a place of saying, I want to accept Jesus. How many believe that God can do that big this Easter Sunday? So let's prepare our hearts now and say, God, who can I bring? Who can I tell? Who can I go fishing for? I should be our first thing. God, who am I fishing for? It's kind of like Easter should be like opening day. Opening season. I'm excited to go out and really fish the opening season. Man, let's get the fish running. Let's get them here. Let's catch some fish together. Let's catch some fish together. I'm excited about what God's going to do. How many today say, Pastor, I feel really challenged today to get back to first things first. God's challenging me to be a better fisherman. Anyone here would say that's me? Yeah, I'm challenged myself. I'm challenged to fish like I've never fished before. I want to catch souls for Jesus. I want to see people give their heart for God. Let's get back and do the first things first. And let God multiply the rest, okay? Let's do it. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. Anybody here? I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm just going to ask you to say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus today. I'm ready to accept Jesus right now. I don't want to wait till Easter. I want to accept Jesus Christ right now. Raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, come on. Raise it high. So I've never accepted Jesus before, and today I want to accept Jesus. See those hands in the back, guys. Thanks. Anybody else? Say, today's my day. I'm ready to jump in the boat now. I can't wait till Easter. I want to accept Jesus Christ right now. If you haven't raised it right now. That's me if I haven't done it. Yeah, we're excited for you. We're going to say this prayer. I want you to close your eyes, all of us now to close our eyes. If you raised your hands, I want you to say it out loud. If you're a Christian, I want you to say it out loud with them to help them along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life today. All of my hurt, all of my sin, all of my dreams. Everything belongs to you. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family, God. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I invite you, before you leave today, we'll have some free Bibles, some information for you. Back at our information center. Stop by. We would love to give you one as our free gift for you today. When we get ready to baptize here shortly, I want you to sign up for that baptism list and make your confession public. Say, I'm going public with my faith. I'm confessing my Lord is my Savior publicly through water baptism. It's going to be a powerful Sunday. But how many today say, I'm ready. I'm ready to fish. I'm ready to fish. We're going to sing this, close out with this song that simply says, Amazing Grace. As we sing this, I want God's grace to overwhelm you today. I want you to think about how much He has set you free. And say, God, you set me free, and now I want to help others know about how much freedom there is in you. Come on, let's sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, like a flower, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Father, I want to pray for you today. Can I pray for you guys? Father, I love you. Lord, I thank you that your word brings instruction. It challenges us, all of us today, God. It convicts us. It drives us. It motivates us with passion. God, I pray that, God, that you will forgive us of being self-centered. You forgive us of pursuing other things. And God, may we be about the ministry of reconciliation. May we be about the ministry of fishing for souls. God, I pray right now that, God, you would allow every person in this room, every Christian, God, begin to take on that personal challenge that your word shares to us, that we would share your love in practical ways. We would share it in love with our words, with our life, with our actions, that we can reach a harvest for you, God. But we believe that, God, you're going to bring in a harvest of souls, of new people giving their life for you. And I pray right now that, God, you would use us. Use us. We say yes, God. Yes to you. Use us, God, to be fishers of men. And we give you praise. We give you honor. If you agree with that word spoken over your life today, one more time, can you just put your hands together, God, a shout of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget today, if you want to go to the marriage retreat, sign up. Pick up that free Bible if you gave your life to Jesus today. God bless you. Have a great night.